Hello and welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
On FBI Radio 94.5 FM, hello and welcome. We've got Jordan Shanks in the studio.
Hello, Sydney and crew.
Tom Montefiore.
Hello, everybody.
And hello, I'm Robbie Armfield. We're Tom Montefiore and the Crocodile Crew. We've got some fun stuff coming up, chat-wise and music. We're all excited. Jordan, he's got a very lively look in his eyes.
Big grin on his face there.
He's happy to be here.
Dead eyes.
Yeah, what's the matter, Jordan?
I know. What is wrong?
Perk up.
I was trying to meditate before this, as is my usual custom, and then Tom draws attention to it with the other DJs in the room. And so I had, and he goes, "Are you sleeping, Jordan?"
Oh, for goodness sake, is that what was happening?
Yes. Trying to call me out, and it worked.
I wasn't calling you out. It was just because, like, there was lively conversation all around you, and you're just in this, like, meditative state.
Exactly. Thought, you knew what I was doing.
Wouldn't you rather
you want
me...
everybody to go, "What's the matter? What's the matter? Why are you so dead, mate?"
Wouldn't you rather me point it out and it just be like a little kind of like, "Haha, yeah, I'm sleeping," over them seeing it and just saying nothing and leaving?
I couldn't see them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're closed. Not there. I used to actually think that...
Baby magic. Yeah. What? You close your eyes and you just disappear?
In kindergarten, playing hide and seek, I used to think, like, if I couldn't see them, they couldn't see me. And then I realised, like, of course they can see me.
My God. Which is why you are such an ardent unsubscriber to Deepak Chopra's theories about physics, that if nobody sees the moon, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's because you know firsthand.
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
such a bad experience.
If I've just got my head behind a tree, they can still see my body.
Actually, do you know what? I suppose it's kind of smart. There's actually a theory, isn't there? Like biocentrism.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
actually, you know, it's your consciousness is the only thing that is perceiving what's around. Is that
yeah,
right?
My proof that it's not a thing is because they could see my body and I thought, and I couldn't see them. So.
So it could be smart. You could be smart for thinking that nowadays, I suppose.
But I lost hide and seek is the point.
Right. Okay.
So we already know. And perfect example of what we're going to be talking about later on, which is one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Tom seems to have disproven biocentrism years before it became a hot topic on YouTube. And we could have prevented this whole mess.
Yeah.
This huge, ardent argument that has been raging on the net.
How many hours have been spent arguing about this?
If but a
philosophy.
Simple boy would put his hand up and step forward. Yeah. But he was too much of a scaredy sissy pants.
Until now. All right, so we got a few text-in segments to start off, with the first one being, what style of ad do you like or hate?
But so also, we probably shouldn't say, like, we're doing, like, an Olympic thing at the moment. So,
because
we're doing three segments in the one bit, aren't we, Jordan?
Yeah. Otherwise known as a triathlon. Try coming from the Latin word for attempt and also three.
So we've got a couple of... Yeah.
No. Try to make a gag.
Mm.
The recipe wasn't right.
Okay, I've got some music here.
That's a lot of segments before a song. Let's try and get through them all.
Okay.
All right, so the first one. What style of ad do you like or hate? So what's the inspiration for this, Jordan?
Yeah.
So pretty much was watching Stephen Colbert's hilarious antics. You can catch him on CBS if you're in the United States, which you are definitely not. he did one of those send-ups of, this has got to be one of the greatest ads of all time. Anything that is advertising a very fly-by-night Bogan monster truck rally, that has got to be the greatest attention-catching device ever conceived.
We actually do a very similar style in the Friendly Geordies videos with, like, the big text and, like, it feels just a bit more of a gruff voice. But, you know, it's like that, like, one night only, one night only.
Actually, that's
like
true.
In big
there
writing.
Also has to be at least 900% more fire.
Yeah.
Every Friendly Geordies video, if we're going to stick true to the art form. Mm.
But yeah, it was an excellent segment. There was like a Colbert thing where it was advertising Donald Trump's convention, and that, like, because he's saying how he's going to bring all these like star-studded celebrity cast to his to the Republican convention, which is, and it's being hosted at the same venue that also has hosted like super trucks and these kind of very hillbilly kind of events, like a Krusty Demons kind of thing.
Yeah. And so the man who is a presidential candidate that once body slammed Vince McMahon in a WWE match entitled Battle of the Billionaires is now running for president in a convention center where It's usually reserved for people doing the Jesus on dirt bikes.
Yeah, Supermanning. Yeah.
So you know the ads that we're talking about here, those ones that start usually with one night only, one night only, one night only.
Yeah, when the Easter show is coming around, they do that exact kind of ad for the Easter show.
Yeah. It's the family's greatest weekend out with Truckosaurus. Yeah. Anything that has Truckosaurus in it has got to be a fantastic ad. Got to be up there as the Gone with the Wind of ads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Surely.
You definitely have a lot of time for those ads. Like, when the ads come on and you see that, you're entertained through the whole thing.
What about toy ads? We've got a message here saying, I love toy ads. All hype, no substance.
Yeah.
Crack for kids from Our Doubts.
Yeah, it's kind of like the
Our Doubts? What's there to doubt about, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great ad.
Yeah, what was that board game with the volcano where it, like, puts you off the bridge if it gets angry?
Forbidden Bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, that kind of ad, where you think that the toy is going to be way better than it is, and they have to have a disclaimer saying that the background doesn't come with the toy.
Yes.
Yeah,
half the ad is really emphasizing, just, I cannot stress this enough, no batteries included. It doesn't look like this straight out of the pack. Yeah. Don't return it, just buy some batteries at Dick Smith.
So what ads do you hate?
What ads do you hate? Like, yeah. I have to say, like, there was it's funny watching these sort of like more dirty brands try to clean up their image by sort of having
Durex.
Something like that, or like KFC, or some of these where they try and like go the lifestyle route, and they'll have like a kind of
kids playing cricket in the backyard in slow motion.
Yeah, Coke did one recently where they had like, you know, the older brother sort of like helping out.
Yeah.
Lots of them actually, they have like road trips, I've noticed, where they have, you know, they're kind of like hot people in the car just sort of vibing out to some tunes.
It's got to be the lowest form.
Yeah.
That is truly the B grade movie of ads, is a young, attractive couple singing in a very cheap car.
Yeah,
a song
Yaris.
That was big in the 90s.
Yeah, any Yaris or any car brand that's aimed at, like, younger people. When
it's
the car
blue.
Is dirty, if they ever do a shot where the car has, like, dust on it, which means they've been on, like, a long road trip, you know it's a crap car ad. That's what they... It's like they're loving it now. To be like, oh, we don't even have a clean car now. People get cars dirty. It's realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they try and relate...
Yeah.
Yes. The lowest form of ad is when they try and relate. Make it bigger and better than life.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
But it's always like this really even, even dirt. Like just one layer of very, like, light dust that is always being washed off in the shot. Like they are like, we have to be relatable. We have to say cars are dirty, but we have to show how easy it is to get the dirt off.
With this perfectly groomed dog barking underneath the man who's cleaning the car.
Yeah.
It's amazing noticing the difference. Tom and I went to Japan earlier in the year, and sort of like the... How they, it's so much larger than life. And here there's much more of that kind of relating, like, you know, we're just like you. You know, we get cars dirty. You know, we eat. You know, we do all these little things. You know, just check us out. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, over there, it's like just explosions and shit, and that's great.
It's getting lazier and lazier, isn't it? I'm really expecting a point where those kind of, which is like you kind of ads, is just going to be the word whoopsie daisy on screen for 30 seconds, followed by Toyota Yaris.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. It's the slightly dusted, that is the, you know when people are always obsessed with identifying which hip-hop artist killed hip-hop? That killed commercials, man. That's when commercials got too commercial.
Which hip-hop artist did kill hip-hop, do you reckon? Or is it dead?
Oh, God. I don't know if it's dead.
I reckon it was P. Diddy, man.
Yeah.
He's got some more hype beats. You know, I don't know. Look, we've got a text here.
Yeah, but see, this is... As soon as you start going, that guy has some all right beats, instead of lyrical genius.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That guy's killed hip-hop, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're just sick at drums.
Guys, listen to this one. Rivers ads.
Yeah.
Everyone always goes quiet for the Rivers ads. Now, this person didn't mention their name, and I'm a bit disappointed because that's definitely the text of the day so far. I mean, as if we can't agree on that.
Especially adding the ellipses at the end. Very nice addition.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it seems like he's tentatively asking everybody, Rivers ads? Is that good enough or not? Too scared to put his name at the end. Doesn't want to be attached to that.
There was one we were watching the other night where it's for fridges or something like that. And it's like really Aussie dude walking down past the really long fireplace. Do you remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah. The cricket guy. He does the Mitsubishi air conditioners or something.
Yeah. It's like air conditioning. And he's walking, and it's so funny because it's such a cheap kind of looking budget ad, but you just can't work out how they made it, because he's walking for about 20 seconds past this fireplace, which just seems to be like hugely
long. The never-ending fireplace.
Yeah, it's a very
the sequel to the never-ending story.
Yeah. What about political ads? What's your favourite kind of political ad?
Oh, definitely the one with the low drone, just a slow zoom in of some guy's face while he's talking mid-sentence in his speech.
High saturation, black and white, on something.
It has to have an extremely deep paternal voice.
Yeah.
Anytime they ever try and say that, like, we're moving the country in the right direction, get off the stage. We don't want to hear that.
We want negative.
Yeah. What dirt have you got?
Okay, now we've got some music coming up, but like this is the Olympic. You know, we're doing something that hasn't been done on radio before. We're doing three segments in a row here. Okay, so
we're
now
to the second sport, so of the worst, triathlon,
which what? Is
yep. You go quick.
Yeah, we're running here. Worst past profession you could let a news anchor get away with.
Okay, this is Jordan. So do you want to
once again, Jordan? What's the inspiration here?
All right.
Quickly as well.
So I was talking about this with our editor, Matt.
Mm.
Looking at Peter Overton, as opposed to Mark Ferguson, who is the Channel 7 news reporter. Robbie, you'd be extremely familiar with his works, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you look at both of them, Mark Ferguson definitely looks like he has an extremely dark, mysterious past, and also looks like he's probably not very good with women, as opposed to Peter Overton, who you think would just be a... I think the word is player. Right?
What job do you think... They must have both all been journalists their entire career, but what...
Surely, but if you found out, for instance, that Peter Overton once tried to assassinate Fidel Castro, which as part of ASIO, CIA was going, well, we've tried 30 times, maybe you guys just give it a go.
You said this to me before, like saying, like, would you be all right with that if you tried to assassinate Fidel Castro?
I reckon I would be. Would you?
Yeah.
How can you be all right with that?
What?
It's just... Like, that's not a past profession.
Yeah, it is.
Assassin.
Assassin is it's a noble skill.
I was thinking, like, dog walker or something. Something boring.
Florist.
No, that's what we're saying. We're trying to find the limit of where you would... Afterwards, you'd say, no, I don't want you delivering information to people anymore. You've got too corrupt a soul.
Well, I think if Peter Overton had found out he used to be a florist, nothing against florists, but I just wouldn't take him as seriously as a journalist anymore. I don't know
oh,
why.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Your line is so far down from ours. I mean, we still haven't found ours at this point. Like, if the guy tried to kill a prominent political figure,
yeah,
we'd still be completely fine with him telling us where the bushfires are at.
Yeah, it would be impossible to listen to him if you knew he tried to assassinate Fidel Castro, wouldn't it?
But yeah, so we'd love to hear from you. The number, 0409-945-945. Text in, say it again, Jordan, what's the question?
What is the worst profession you would allow a journalist to get away with that reads the news to you before you go, I can't watch this man anymore, he's too wrong?
Is it because of trust? Like, you just can't trust them anymore because they're too corrupt or something?
That's what we're looking for here. And yours was florist.
Yeah. I reckon that's fair enough. I reckon if he was a dog walker or a florist, I wouldn't trust Peter Overton.
All right,
what? Just chucked him dog walker arbitrarily.
What? Okay, you respect dog now. Walkers all of a sudden? All right.
Might have some more dogs later in the show, potentially. But now it's time for the third one. Look, I don't know if this was a good idea. I don't know if we'll do this again, but like...
What, the triathlon?
Yeah, I mean, well, this is a record-breaking stuff, I suppose. We've got to do it. But like...
Enjoy. Yeah, no, we won't do the triathlon next time. Next time, we will do the decathlon.
All 10.
Uh-oh.
10 song... Yeah, 10 segments, one song.
Not even a finishing song.
This one's called One Giant Leap for Mankind.
All right, so this one...
We're chucking this one in. God, this doesn't seem like something that you just put in the mix, but okay.
Yeah, really? No. This one has a bit more substance
to it. Actually quite good, this
God, because this is really like when you get those lolly bags at the corner store and they just put in all the dud ones that no one wants, like the bananas and the...
Yeah, this is your, like, crunchy that they've accidentally left in the bag. Yeah. So what it was... So I... thought to be impulsive on the weekend, which was so, like, I was having breakfast at this terrible cafe, same cafe as last time. I don't want to get into it.
Somebody needs to say something.
It was truly awful.
There is a very good reason as to why Tom doesn't want to disclose that, and if you're a Patreon subscriber, you will know the secret.
Will they? All right, they will. I was at this cafe having breakfast with my girlfriend, and she says, why don't we go to the Blue Mountains for the weekend and see the Three Sisters? And I was I don't know what was in what was going on in my head, but I was like, yeah.
It's like, anything could be better than this breakfast.
Yeah, it probably was that. Yeah. Like, I just have to get away as far as I can from this cafe. So I was like, yeah, all right, I can't think of a reason not to go to the Blue Mountains for the weekend. So we booked a hotel and...
Hydro Majestic.
I don't know what it was called. Ooh. But yeah, it was really close to the Three Sisters lookout. And we drove all the way...
You went to the Best Western.
Yeah, it was somewhere. It was fairly cheap.
Money.
Yeah. It was very cheap. And we drove all the way there. And when we got there, there was just... Like, they were doing back burning, like, at the Three Sisters. To the point that when you're driving to the hotel, you were in a bushfire. Like, it was just... You couldn't see 3 feet in front of your... Like, in front of the car. Like, you had to be driving with the headlights on. There was such thick smoke. So, like, we... Then we're sitting outside the hotel thinking, like, all right, we haven't given the hotel any details of... Like, of our credit card information, and it says it's non-refundable, this price, and we haven't paid for it yet. How do we, like, not pay for this? I'm like, what do we do? Like, it was so sad. There was, like, bus full... Like, those buses full of tourists arriving at the Three Sisters to look at... Like, you couldn't see it. Yeah, it was just to look at smoke. Like, what are they thinking, doing backburning on a weekend like that? Anyway, we were just like, all right, we have to go home.
Yeah.
And how bad of an idea this was in the end. Like, what a terrible idea. Like, it was so impulsive. We drive for an hour and a half at least, if not more. And then just...
So, the point of this one was... So, it was a giant leap for mankind. So, you were saying this... So, what's the point?
Just stop being... Just don't be impulsive.
Don't be impulsive.
It's a bad idea. Right. Just think about... Think before you do stuff because it just will backfire.
Hang on. So, everybody listening right now, this is us... attempting to create a new holy text because we've all come to the conclusion, much like the Beatles, that we're bigger than Jesus now. The Bible seems a bit dated, a bit naff. A couple of things in there that we think, maybe that might have been the case, you know, 2,000 years ago, but
yeah,
this can be updated.
So little
and the very first
tips.
Thing that you say is, like, get rid of the one thing that has advanced mankind.
Yeah, yeah, trying just, something.
Okay, so you think we're perfect as is
first
now.
First commandment, yeah, think.
Ever
yeah,
since
think.
Foxtel Sorry. Released Presto, that's it.
Yeah.
Presto Change-O, we have finally reached our final form. This is humanity's version of being perfect.
Well, look where
freezer.
I am now. I'm having to move a booking a few weeks ahead so I can then cancel the booking to get away from paying the fee. That's what happens when you do something impulsively.
This is your giant leap.
John, what's your giant leap? What's your giant leap for mankind that we can put in this holy text?
Haven't thought about this at all.
Oh,
just
okay.
going
Should we leave
just
it later
completely
show?
Freestyling this. You brought it up. So.
Oh, I just assumed because... Okay.
You know what it is? You know what my giant leap is?
Jazz.
Don't eat Malaysian food.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? It just doesn't sit right with you personally.
I find it personally offensive.
Yeah, commandment
it's in
number
the book.
Two. Yeah.
Shall not have a Mac.
Yeah, so we're learning from each other's mistakes. So that's
And don't lock your friends in a
fried locker. Chicken and an egg? What the hell were you thinking? You're banned from the holy text. Just
Never
like there's
again.
A chosen people.
Yeah.
Malaysian restaurateurs of the forgotten
them.
People. Yeah.
What was yours, Robbie?
Don't... but I suppose it's basically an extension of your one thing. I just... When I was in school, I accidentally locked my friend in the locker. And
accidentally?
So, well, he said he could fit in it, and so he got in it, and then I thought...
This will be funny.
I thought... I don't know. I just thought, well, can you? Let's have a look. So he got in, and then I closed the door, and I thought, all right, I'll just see if I can put the lock on here to see, like, if he can actually be in. And I did, and then I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I just locked it? And then I did, and then I freaked out. It was the last day of the term of the year.
I remember.
And
this,
there was a big crowd came around, and I was very inept with those particular locks. I was new to the school. I didn't know
and
how to use the locks.
And he was scared, banging, saying, get me out.
Yeah, he was... my friend Ryan was getting more and more scared and starting to scream, and it was actually quite confronting.
And they were like, open the door. Who did this? And you were like, no, I did it. I don't know. And why would you do this, Robbie?
I don't know. Got it. So basically, think. That's all I'm saying there is think. And I did blush a little bit, actually, I must say.
Incredible. This is confirmation of what I was talking to. And I'm never going to reveal who these people were, but I met a couple of people that went to your high school, Robbie. And they were saying that you were a bully at school.
What?
and yeah. you're sitting there trying to pass this story off innocently. Yeah, I just, you know, locked accidentally just locker. Locked a guy, as you do.
As the you're the victim. I'm really bad with the locks, and like, I was really anxious and worried.
I was scared in that situation. Think about the guy that was suffocating.
All right, we'll talk about this.
Could have that died. That is an Abu Ghraib approved torture.
I didn't mean to. Look, it was very, I'm admitting, very stupid stuff. I blushed hardcore. I couldn't stop. You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. Look, make a man blush coming up later in the show, to be honest.
Alright, well, that's the end of the triathlon. Yeah, so we did it.
So
we
we've done it. We've you know, made radio history, haven't we, guys? Were you excited,
Jordan? It was a really good high point to finish on, wasn't it? Confirming something about Robbie's shady past.
Okay, hello there. You got to tune to Tom Montedude and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song, If My Arm Was a Mic Stand, Would You Hold My Hand by The Mint Chicks. They are a band that features Cody and Ruben Nielsen, UMO, and Silicon Now is his name. And so that album, it's got 10-year anniversary. That's why we're playing it here. But yeah, with Jordan Checks, Tom Montefiore, Robbie Armfield. We've got a text here that you can text on 0409-945-945. If Peter Overton was a transit officer, they would no longer respect them as a journalist.
Yep, it works. It definitely works. We were going along the lines of maybe if they ran an Asian death camp or that they... yeah, something extremely sinister. Used to skin animals. Mm. Something like that. But no, actually, Tom seems to have the right suggestion on this. It's the little things in life.
The mundane jobs. We're not saying the jobs are bad. We're just saying it's just purely to do with trust as for a journalist. And for some reason, there's no reason particularly, but like a transit officer is just not a trustworthy person.
Yeah, a lot like when you think of Rick Ross, the famed rapper from Miami, that he used to be a prison guard.
Really?
Yes.
Does that make you like him more or less?
Far less. Referring to yourself as a boss. No way.
Well, I guess in the big house they would be, right?
A prison guard?
Yeah.
I'd be scared for my life if I was
every
a prison
day.
Guard. Yeah, definitely, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. That would have to be up there on the worst jobs there are. A prison guard. Doesn't get worse than that.
Surely that's got to be one of the ways that they go out most, right? What was the death? Oh, as if we even need to ask. It was a prison guard. And then the obituary guy just writes in, stabbed by plastic toothbrush. Doesn't even have to do a commission on it. No coroner needed.
How much would you have to be paid a year to be a prison guard, Robbie? Annually.
Hmm. 60,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
60,000.
So their actual salary.
Is it? Is that actually? Yeah,
so you're quite willing to be a prison guard.
I thought
you were going to say like $1 million.
No, just 60. That'd be fine.
It seems like they would either be on $58,000 a year, and if you walked in and said, give me 60,000, they go, all right.
Dude, you've got a really hard,
a hard bargain.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a segment which we've done a few times.
Well, we've done it once. It's rave reviews. This time, I've got something, all right? So the segment's called Someone Needs to Say Something, which is
a Seinfeld impression.
Well, yeah, so that's in relation to Jordan. Your face is just so dead.
So unimpressed with that impression.
He's not into the 2016 Year of Impression by Sigmas.
Because I usually find enjoyment out of how poor every single one of Robbie's impressions are, but I really thought that he struck gold on this one. I thought that he was impersonating a long-forgotten cartoon character, but then I found out that he's impersonating one of the most famous, most recognisable voices on the planet.
So awfully. Someone needs
to say something!
Can we just honestly ask you now, honestly think, rate that out of 10?
Okay, I'm legit. I'm going to give it an 8. Oh, it's not
Robbie.
Funny. It's not funny.
Tom, please give it what it deserves.
It's like a 5.
Oh, my God.
That is hilarious in itself.
What?
Do you think that's an unfair...
How is that Jerry at all?
It's a... All right, four. I'll give it a 4.5.
It's like him at his most...
Oh, it's so crazy. Below average. Yeah. I'm sure... Just text in and say, I can do a better impression and I will believe you.
Actually, do you know what? I will say, call in if you think you can do better than me. Okay? If you can do better than an 8 Jerry Seinfeld impression or B-movie or whatever, call in 833-2299.
A Robbie's 8, a Tom's 5, or a Jordan's 2.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right, the number, again, 833-22999. Anyway, now it's the segment. Okay. The other night, I was watching a bit of Jane Eyre, weren't we, Tom? We were watching a little bit of Jane Eyre. It came on the TV. Not a movie I'd gravitate towards, usually, but it was on, and it started off very, very engagingly, actually. It had this sort of, like, this woman running through this wilderness, you know, she was falling over, it was raining, storm, you know.
Yeah, you need to know what that's about.
Very picturesque, you know, very picturesque, like sublime, truly sublime sort of opening. Anyway, I noticed, you know, these sort of period pieces, right? They've got social constructs and all this sort of stuff. It feels very alien to us now, right? Like, we're in a free society now, okay? You know, all these sort of limitations in how to socially interact. We don't really...
Absolute covers on table legs.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really relate too readily to these sorts of... The ways in which they interacted back
People going absolutely nuts if somebody goes, "Would you like to play bridge?" And they go, "I don't feel like it." "Well, this is not conventional at all."
Exactly. So, you know, and that was when? That was like in the 1800s, right? That was sort of, you know, not too long ago. And we see these films and I can't relate to this. This is nothing like the way that I live.
Right.
And so why do we look to times around the time of like Jesus and things like this? And why do we respect the texts of these times? Someone needs to say something. You know, if that feels alien to us, surely the texts of old should feel alien to us, right? And we should sort of disregard most of that.
Are you having a jab at religion right now?
I think so.
You think so?
Someone needs to say something.
Oh my God.
What do you reckon?
Weiss is, hot coals right now.
Really? Are we on thin ice with this?
Well, I don't know. What do you want me to say to that? What do we say to that?
I don't know.
What were you hoping? What was the goal of this?
I thought that you'd be like, yeah, these movies do feel alien. Yeah, we must, like, look, if we look further back in past...
It's even more alien.
It's going to be even more alien and less relevant to us nowadays.
Yeah.
Someone needs to say something.
So the overall goal was to get two confirmed atheists to renounce religion even further.
I guess. Or just agree with me on the point that, like, olden times must have been way different.
Yeah, I love hearing...
then we look at them.
I think we can all agree on that. Okay, so there was no sinister undertext to this segment.
No.
You thought this was a very innocent question, but really, you've accidentally become the Salman Rushdie of FBI radio.
Right. Like, a lot of people will be hearing this thinking, like, no, I don't think that's reasonable at all. Like, I think my text is very reasonable. It's a big part of who I am.
Oh, true. Oh, God.
I suppose we can't talk because before we were just trying to make a new holy text. So we by default agree with him.
Yeah.
But when he outright says it in such certain terms.
Yeah, we're just subtly trying to undermine all the other texts. So our text is just the most boss.
Oh, my God. Okay, we've got a text here. Just tuned in. But just wondering why and how you got Jerry Seinfeld on the show. Bring Robbie back, please. Well, you know,
he's a confusion.
Look, he's so easy to mistake.
It actually was Robbie. He was doing an impression of Seinfeld.
Look, 2016, baby.
Sometimes you just got to admit when you're wrong, I guess.
But yeah, I don't know what we can do to that, Robbie.
I think this is the end of that.
Is it? We're ending that up there, are we? Okay, look.
But we can go straight on to another segment. So I have been on jury duty for a little while, and one of the jurors every day was bringing in a book that, like, he was just reading, like so many books, like those Matthew Riley kind of very quick page turner books. Is it called Pulp Fiction? Is that what they are?
Usually, anything that you find in an airport that the author's name is way bigger than the title of the book.
Why do they do that?
And it's pretty much exactly the same picture as well.
Yeah. But yeah, the plot of the book, because I asked him to explain what the book was about, and he was saying that the plot of it, he was so enthusiastic to tell me, he was only about like 18 years old, but he loved it, and he was saying
fresh-faced.
Yeah, very enthusiastic. He was like, all right, so it's in modern times where a magician is solving crimes, he's a detective magician, and he's really, like, he's a bit of a smart ass. Like,
magician?
Wizard. Wizard, sorry. He's
a he's a wizard. Massive difference.
And he's like, you know, most like wizard books are usually, you know, they're like kind of lame, like old people with a big staff, whatever. This guy's young. He's like a bit of a smart ass, and he does magic and he solves crimes. And I was thinking, like, that's probably, yeah, it would have to be one of the worst plots there is, right? Have you ever heard of a more uninteresting plot for a book?
Maybe. Because the stars have truly aligned, Tom. This week, my girlfriend was watching television. Apparently, she watches it so little that she had to, much like Ned Flanders, blow the cobwebs off the remote when she turned it on. Which is even better because she is highly religious.
Right.
So, she is just a female Ned Flanders watching really gory television and coming back to me going, I've got disturbing thoughts in my head now. So, she had to talk me through this plotline, right?
Mm.
It's one of your classic crime, I don't know, something like CSI, but whatever. Mm. Whatever was on Channel 10. There was a story of a serial killer who used to go on Facebook and troll someone until they committed suicide.
Oh my God.
He would then go to that dead guy's funeral and take a selfie.
Oh my God. This is a story.
That's the story. Yeah, it was like a CSI plot. And he was like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego scenario? Where he'd be like, you'll never find me.
Oh my God.
So what do you reckon, people? This is over to you guys now. When we come back, we're going to come up with an extremely haphazard trailer to either one of those storylines because, as we all know, television shows and books turn into movies like that these days. We're going to jump the gun.
Yeah.
We're coming up with a movie trailer.
So, Detective Wizard Boy or Internet Troll Serial Killer.
Yeah, Internet Troll. Technically not a serial killer. He's just coaxing people into killing themselves. So, he's just like a Dr. Death in the Northern Territory, really.
But to get us there, I've just got a couple of texts here. Somebody saying, Judith Lucy on the show too. This is amazing. In relation
in reference to Tom. You've got to do it now for all of you listeners.
It's his one amazing impression.
All right, guys. We'll see you right after the break.
Listen to that, huh?
What's the deal with books?
Jerry Seinfeld and Judith America. Lucy, the two greatest comedians of all time.
And we will make...
Yep. He's in inquisitions.
I'm a kid here to solve crimes.
He's in genocides.
I'm a detective, but I have magical powers.
Okay, that's not what we're going for here, but he's been alive for 500 years.
I've been alive for 500 years, but I'm still just a kid.
Confirmed. Now, he's going to take his hand in, Detective, because he thinks the world has gone even more unjust than when there was inquisitions and genocides.
I'm a wizard, and I'm going to solve this crime.
And this crime is, somebody stole his lunch.
All right, cut that out.
Oh, we were jamming!
Standing out!
That was great brief.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was great. It was good.
Well, thank you very much to Sean. I'm hoping that your last name is something that starts with a T, like Teasdale, for instance, so we can call you Sean T. Excellent name. Might even call my kid that. But, yes, thank you very much for texting it and going, do the one about the wizard detective. I was secretly hoping that too.
Now it's time for... Oh, by the way, that was a Donald Trump remix. Just some random one from YouTube. You are the boys, Jordan Shanks, Tom Montefiore, and Robbie Armfield from Tom Montedude and the Crocodile. Corn FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Now we're going to be talking about eating things, burgers. Okay, so what do we know about our listeners? They're hipsters. They like talking about food.
Yeah,
what
they love it.
Yeah. What do we know? Halal snack packs and all these food groups on social media go absolutely ballistic. What do we also know? We know that FBI Radio wants to expand their reach. Okay,
so we've decided to completely cater to their exact target demographic.
Yeah, we're chasing the metrics here. So what we're wanting...
Yeah. So they asked us to expand, but no, we're doing the exact opposite. Bullseye going for their target.
Yeah. All right, so all you hipsters out there, what we want to know is, are there any eating challenges where you eat it and you can get the meal if you finish it for free, that kind of challenge in yep. Sydney that you know of that you can recommend to us and we're going to go and try it out.
Is that a hipster thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it is. I think it is if it's they don't... I don't know. I feel like if they go there, but they don't actually do the challenge, but they just know of it. Like, I know there's a ramen challenge, for instance, that everyone talks about. Yep. Ramen is a very hipster challenge. Well, I feel
nobody
like...
Nobody has a bad...
However, have they ever done it?
Yeah, yeah. No.
But they feel ownership to it?
Yeah, so we're not
you
looking...
know that it's only truck drivers that are doing this.
Like, the schnitzel challenge is not hipster. A ramen challenge is.
No hipster has a bad word to say about ramen, do they?
No.
Like, can you please text in? If you don't like ramen, tell us why. Honestly, I'd love to know.
Yeah. And defend your point. Yeah. What have you got against it?
0409-95955.
Yes, you're listening to FBI, the radio station whose official food, the food that powers us all, ramen.
But yeah, I know there is a ramen one, but I reckon I could eat a lot of ramen.
Oh, do you think that you could honestly finish?
He's lost
what is it? Is it a kilo of ramen?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We had a lot of ramen. It's such lame stuff, isn't it?
God.
I love ramen. I love schnitzels, food. You name it, I eat it.
Oh, God.
What about steak?
Yeah.
Is that hipster to go and have a steak challenge?
No, no.
Well, like lumberjack hipstery kind of stuff, isn't it? I don't know. It probably wouldn't be, though.
Yeah, you need to have a Ned Kelly beard, don't you? Definitely.
Yeah. You're getting there, Tom.
Yeah, soon enough. No, I can't grow a beard like that.
Anyway, we'd just love to know. So if you want to sort of like text in, call in, tell us like where's the best places to do some sort of eating challenge, you can message us on the Friendly Geordies Facebook or something.
Because we were going
just
to
got
do...
a text then that says, I don't like ramen. Well, show yourself, mate.
Yeah, why is that?
What's your name?
Says F. This person says F ramen. It's like meat in a warm bath and I don't like baths.
That's like you with pho. Defend why you hate pho. Ramen.
Yeah, well, no, look, I'm okay with pho. It's
you
just...
get it every week.
I know.
But it's the price. It's the price that I have issue with, okay?
You know,
it's $12.
Yeah, it should be like $5. It's
$5. You've
lowered
it.
It's warm water with some meat, you know, and some noodles, you know. It should be $5. I'm sorry.
That is the worst way to reduce the price of something.
Just burger, say the
ingredients. Just a sandwich and some meat, some lettuce.
Yeah, it's just a series of ingredients put together. Like, why would I pay $12? It's definitely
fine. It's a souffle. All it is some duck eggs.
Yeah, what's justify an expensive meal? What are you willing to pay a lot for?
Oh, ramen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Almost definitely
that
ramen.
Meat bath.
Yeah. Well, if it's a different kind of bath, you know. I don't know. Good steak, you know, juicy steak.
Yeah.
Some sort of, yeah.
What maybe. Makes sense was, like, in Japan, how they have, like, the meat in Japan's really hot. Like, it's very rare or something.
Mm.
They don't have much cattle. So, it makes sense that they charge, a ton for...
Well, they do horse meat.
Oh, yeah.
Horse sashimi.
Yeah. Oh, crazy places in the world, aren't they?
And you had it, didn't you, Tom, you sicko?
I didn't have horse meat.
We wanted to, but we just didn't get around.
See, what the hell is this?
It's like knowing about the ramen challenge.
I wanted to have horse meat.
I didn't want it necessarily. What's wrong with horse meat?
You know, they're like...
endangered.
You've seen that episode of The Simpsons. Endangered.
Horses are not in danger, Jordan. They are long past that. They are our slaves now.
So you're turning it into Oddworld's Abe Exodus when they start eating their own slaves. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess
it's pretty sick.
Well, yeah. We've had this argument this week about whales. So being like, why is it bad to eat whales?
Oh.
And we're like, oh, it's because
who was saying it first?
Wasn't that KJ saying? Yeah, why? That was crazy. Yeah.
It's such a because she's like, are they endangered though? And I was I'm not entirely sure because I think some species are.
See, that's such a well-known thing. It's like just not whales. No, like that's
But they, she's,
isn't it because
she's
they're a
saying,
silent, sentient giant?
Yeah, I was saying they're the shepherds of the sea. You don't kill that. Like, they are too, like, holy to murder.
Yeah, it is like killing a talking tree, whale.
But I get her point. She's like, why is it cool to kill a cow but not a whale? And we're like, well, it's just not sustainable at all. So, obviously, it's worse to kill a whale. And she had nothing to say to that.
She probably did. She obviously hasn't thought through the argument much. Because you could say after that, well, killing cows is not really sustainable either.
Yeah. That's neither all right. Yeah, FBI vegan chat.
Talking stuff relevant to you.
Okay, look, what I will say is we've got a text here on 0409-945-945. If you're paying 12 for pho, you're going to the wrong place, fam. Bang, boom, Jordan, what do you got to say for yourself, mate?
Again, all these people just come in with sentences, don't they?
Oh,
what do you want them to do?
Oh, it's just words, isn't it?
I don't want sentences. Words. I want something
else.
You
took the words out of my mouth, probably. They're just words.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you make a better foe for less.
That's yeah, go struggling. On.
Oh, God. Somebody says, I like ramen and baths. Oh, Jesus. That's going to be the worst.
Yeah. But at the same time, again, we've melted down the text board.
I know, we actually have. Again, we did play school. You guys lit it up so fire. That was like an absolute fam board, right? Now we're
we
doing...
Did, what boys. Jobs do you reckon a dog would have if they could talk
yeah, light
and
it
go
up,
to university?
Bang, bang.
Light up this board, fam. 0409945945. okay, so we've got some other stuff coming up.
But first, let's go to a song.
Oh, shall we?
Right. Stick around.
Okay.
It's only getting better from here.
Okay. Hello there. You've got to tune to Tom Monty Dude and the Crocodile Crew with Jordan Shanks, Tom Montefiore and Robbie Armfield on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Landslide by Kieran J. Callanan from his album Embraces. I'm excited for new stuff from him. Got a lot of texts here. The number's 0409945945 saying, what breed of dog did Tom eat overseas and does that count as an occupation? Tom, do you want to respond to that?
What breed of dog did I eat overseas? I don't know. You just know it's dog.
You just know it's dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably some just like mongrel dog.
Right.
Hard to know. Brazilian dog of some kind, I guess.
So basically...
God, it always just gets so low after that.
What do you mean?
You just don't know how to respond to it.
So what?
After you're just like, I don't know. Some mutt.
Well, it probably was.
Okay, anyway, so we're going on to...
You don't have pure breeds going as dog men. Anyway, right, go on. Yeah, okay. So, Robbie.
Speaking of, dog jobs coming up right after this.
Yeah.
Where we discuss what breed of dog do you think would hold a job if this were a Pixar world where dogs could possess human occupations.
But yeah, now... So basically, I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's an Act for Peace ration challenge going on where you sort of... for a week, you eat the rations that Syrian refugees eat and you raise money for them, you know, education, all that sort of stuff. So I'm doing it. And
very bravely was hurled upon him during a podcast and he just went, yeah, all right.
Yeah, when the books arrived this week and I think it hit home, he's like, yeah, it's 5 days, man. And I was like, no, it's 7 days. He's like, yeah, surely not. And then he realized it was. And it's the tiniest box of food. There is nothing there.
It's, yeah.
So
it's got to be a proper struggle. I mean, all jokes aside, it's actually...
You know those Sundays where you cook up a bunch of rice and think, oh, I'm going to make fried rice or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that exorbitant amount where you kind of just replace doing things with eating?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that kind of serving?
Yeah, yeah.
How much of one of those servings do you think it is?
How much do you... Have you opened the box?
No. I think I might do, like, an unboxing video or something.
Yes, great. Awesome.
Can't wait.
You know how they do that?
A la all of those girls that do those what's in my bag segments with lipstick.
Yeah, this is the Syrian ration version of that.
Exactly. Excellent work.
So Tom said that he gave a donation.
Yeah, I did.
And I've actually had a couple of donations. So, like, thanks so much for everybody that's donated. It's hugely appreciated. Like, a big shout-out to Sandy McCoy, Matt Tarrant, Stephen Craig, Poop Steve 420. I got a huge one. It was like almost $300, and he said, like, if you do make a man blush on the radio. So we will be doing that, but at first I just want to mention this. So Tom, you said you donated.
Yeah, I did. I donated yesterday.
But then because I got an anonymous $20, and I said, well, what was the message? Because I can see the message here, and you what's the message?
It was something like, you know, you're doing great. Keep at it. Love your work. Good luck with the challenge.
Well, no. So it says, I'm so proud of what you have achieved since knowing you. Go chase the moon and the stars. I have a feeling you might catch them. That's what it says. It couldn't have been further from... So why are you trying to...
What? You think I'm stealing someone else's donation?
Yeah, why are you doing that? What's that about?
No, I did. I donated. $20. 20 big ones. And that's a lot for me as well. I don't earn very much money. Like, I don't
Jordan,
know.
Do you reckon this is a... Is that fair enough? I mean, I suppose we're... He's stealing
do
somebody
Do you believe
else's
I donated to Robbie $20 or not?
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't I do that? It was me.
It's not up your alley to care about things or give things.
Well, I did donate. It was me. I've got proof here. It's like a receipt. Donation receipt.
Are you serious?
It actually was me.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Are you kidding?
No, there's a receipt right there.
Why are you such an international man of mystery, Tom? You always think that you've got you pegged and then all of a sudden, bam, I'm like jelly on the wall.
Anonymous. I didn't want to have to out myself as donating, but you know, you made me do
it. Wow, look at that. Lovely guy.
Yeah. Yes. Like all millionaire philanthropists that don't want to be named, Tom did not want the huge amount of money to be retracted by just the mentioning of his name.
Is that the smallest amount you've received?
No, I think I got 5.
Oh, well,
no, but it's all greatly appreciated. Look, anybody, and
the 5 is obviously least appreciated.
Yeah, so you can find, I think, just by searching Robbie Armfield on Ration Challenge if you want to donate. Look, but now it's time for because of the big donation, we're going to quickly do Make a Man Blush. Okay, now this is a huge segment from the podcast, right? And Jordan's very excited about this.
Yep,
clearly. And that because
gets me every time.
Exactly. So this is when you've blushed in the past, and a little story about it. So, for instance, when I was a child, I was eating a sausage, and it was a bacon wrapped sausage. And what happened was, I was sort of chowing down. Okay, I was quite young, right?
Right.
And I was chowing down, loving these sausages. Mm. And then, it sort of like got stuck halfway. So like I swallowed the sausage, but a bit of the bacon stuck in my mouth, and so I had this big strand
in your throat.
This big strand of bacon fat going right down into my stomach, and I was gagging and I was blushing
everywhere.
I honestly don't think I've said I've blushed a lot, but like that, I've never blushed that hard. I mean, can you imagine a person blushing more hard than somebody choking on some bacon fat after a bacon wrap?
All right, we got to the bottom of blushing.
Yeah, we really bacon this isn't wrapped- scooping the bottom of the barrel anymore. This is just getting another barrel with a different liquid in it and going, yeah, this is beer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bacon just- wrapped sausage, make a man blush.
It's just not even blushing. Like, we spoke about this at length the other night where we worked it out. Like, it's a very clear emotion. It just means embarrassed. Blushing.
I think I was, because I couldn't. It was like I couldn't swallow. I couldn't eat.
You right.
Know, it was almost like.
Was that your primary emotion though, while you were dying?
Oh, fear
that you were going. Oh, this is God.
I'm embarrassed right now. I'm choking on my own.
Well, I think it's like dying like this. Oh God.
Not like this.
Not a bacon wrap.
My face red, eh? Yeah. What am I going to be in Charles Darwin Stupid Awards?
Bloody beetroot over here. Family event. Are you joking? Oh Lord. What about you guys? You ever blush?
Just the other day, my girlfriend made me go and talk to her corporate friends. Hate that to begin with. As usual, when they usually ask me, what do you do for a living? Because I can't say I'm a management consultant. I always have to say I'm a YouTuber.
Is that embarrassing?
Yes. So that made me blush to begin with, right? And then they said, oh, cool, I like YouTube. That was his response. So just excellent conversation.
Yeah.
And then he says, what do you do? And then I said, oh, well, basically, I just make videos that support the Labour Party. And then he goes, oh, Malcolm Turnbull's my uncle.
Blush. Blush, baby. Made a man blush over here, baby. On FBI Radio, baby.
Wouldn't you guys be? Got right. Something more awkward? Don't text in. We've got enough texts.
Yeah, we've got enough. But can I just say quickly, I just got an email. $50 from Mr. Ben Zeri.
Oh,
thank you so much. Beautiful. Massively appreciated. Ration challenge, Syrian refugees. Tom, have you ever blushed quickly?
No, I don't have any blush stories. So let's go straight on to
dog faces.
All right,
we'll go to dogs. Dog faces. All right, we were going to do a bit of cats, weren't we?
We were going to do cats, but I think there was just a text asking for dogs, so we'll swap it up.
Straight back. This has very quickly turned into our Rove Lives What The segment. Just people will not let this die.
Yeah, so this is, if you could imagine different professions, imagine we're in a Pixar film, what professions would those dogs hold? So, for instance, a bulldog would be the British police officer with the baton that he twindles around while he walks the streets of London.
Wasn't brought up last episode. You've obviously been cooking that up all week, and may I just say, stew to perfection.
Thank you.
You've really got that one nailed now. So the Australian bulldog is still up for grabs as either a construction worker or an old-time millionaire. That is up for discussion.
Yeah.
But this is dog jobs, people. Yeah. There's hard choices that need to be made. British bulldog is off the table now.
Yeah.
It is a bobblehead.
I think Australian bulldog can be a very poor marathon runner because they gasp for air so often. They're always finishing a marathon last.
You are joking! On the radio! You know, this is on the bloody radio!
We're talking dogs!
We're talking dogs on the radio!
Any others?
German Shepherd?
What would a German...
Anyone? What breed? What job do you reckon a German Shepherd would have? Because I personally think he would be the mayor.
Yeah, you can't help.
What animal? What dog do you think is going to be the mayor of Dogtown?
Public sector for sure. It has to be.
Joke. Absolutely. Yep. Purebred bureaucrat.
Yeah. All right, we've got one here. Dachshund would be an optometrist. Schnauzer. No. Hang on. A Schnauzer. Well, he'd be a bartender.
Bing, bing. Oh. Excellent. Bloodhound, anyone? Let's keep this ball going.
Yeah, what would a bloodhound be?
Well, he'd be a detective,
Dexter,
wouldn't he?
Yeah. Blood splatter analysis.
In the public sector.
In the public sector, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not a private eye. Private eye would go to a whippet.
Yeah, they're all law enforcement, aren't they?
Look at this Labrador as a construction worker.
Dogtown is a police state.
What about like a baker or something? Just a normal job. Who's a baker?
I think a Labrador would be a baker. Surely.
No, they said Labrador would be a construction worker.
No, that's right. Who's that? Who's that? Don't text in again, mate. Serious segment.
Can you believe this? Honestly, I've never heard such a ludicrous statement on the radio.
Okay, we got one more, people. Everybody. Okay. Chow Chow. The famous Chinese dog, probably the one that Tom ate, actually. It's usually the one that's used in Asian cuisine.
Maybe a, like on MasterChef, some kind of food expert.
Oh, the
I'm
judge?
I'm just thinking that because you just said Asian cuisine.
The judge?
Just instant like, word association.
All right, what?
I was just thinking of a blue tongue. So, like, the tongue kind
apparently
of...
they're quite aggressive, actually. So, maybe they'd be a WWE wrestler.
It's not really a profession.
Yeah, got to one of the ones with those Mexican masks on. That it's always like the height of the show when he gets unmasked.
Yeah,
it's a chow chow.
Oh my god, the blue tongue boy.
All right,
yeah, blue tongue dog. What's better, blue tongue dogs, blue tongue lizards?
We're asking you. We're taking calls. Let's go to a song.
Well, we've got to say big thank you because we just lit the board up. Straight fire this board.
Sorry to the board.
Sorry to the board. Jesus. All right. We actually got a message before saying, like, this show is like CFM plus whatever the hell Robbie wants to do. So, do you think are we like CFM?
What's CFM?
We're like a brekkie show on CFM.
Oh, CFM. Oh, is that the,
right? Yes.
Is that the Central Coast Today?
Today FM. FM. Yeah. Central Coast.
Oh, really? Is it? Oh,
yes.
God. What a compliment. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We've
got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've got to wrap it up. So, it's goodbye from Jordan Shanks.
Trying to think of some wacky breakfast host out, but okay. I think I'm just going to go.
Uh-oh. Tom Montefiore.
Goodbye.
And Robbie Armfield.
We're so wacky. The wacky one of the trio, yeah, eh?
Goodbye.
No wonder he's called Tom Bodgy Doo Doo.
Tom Bodgy Doo Doo. Oh, a couple of crocodile cool boys here as well. We'll see you next week. We're here midday till 1, FBI Radio, 94.5 FM.
Good
Thanks
luck,
so much
Stephen
for having
Goodhue
us.
Coming up next.
Yeah.
Some great tunes.
The playlist, he's got some cracking tunes coming up. I'm really excited for that. But to play us out now, we've got a great song. It's called Thank You. It's by White Denim from their new album, Stiff. And goodbye.